Welcome to A Little Less of a Hot Mess, Off the Couch Conversations with a Therapist, me, Caitlin Soule. I am an author, a speaker, a coach, and a mom to three kiddos. I'm also a therapist, as said in the title. I'm on a mission to help modern women turn towards their own imperfect growth and evolution by rewriting their narrative, restoring their sense of authentic self, and reclaiming their best way forward. I do this in this podcast through sharing conversations with leading people in the field of psychology and mental health who have things to teach us or important conversations to share with us. In between those conversations, I will host mini coaching sessions where I talk about different topics that are important to you, things like motherhood, anxiety, wellness, mental health, relationships, whatever, it's all on the table. And in those coaching sessions, my hope is to elevate you, to teach you some tools that you can implement into your daily life right away. Thanks for being here. Cheers. Hello, welcome to this week's podcast conversation with Dr. Jane Shamoff. Dr. Jane, I apologize if I just botched your name because I am so grateful for you and the work that you're doing in this world and that we got a chance to connect. Bloom is a wonderful online mental health team slash business platform that is helping women in their postpartum and prepartum journey. Dr. Jane and I got to speak about postpartum planning, which is so important because it's so often overlooked, and postpartum expectations versus reality, knowledge and signs of postpartum anxiety versus postpartum depression, and what's typical and what's not when it comes to the wide spectrum of emotions, feelings, and just experiences that people deal with in their postpartum healing journey. A little bit about Dr. Jane, I'll let her introduce herself, but I'll tell you some of the background on her because it's pretty impressive. She is a licensed psychotherapist, perinatal mental health specialist, substance abuse and addiction specialist, and a doctor of clinical psychology, as well as a mom to three kiddos. Before delving into the world of perinatal mental health, she spent her time focusing on substance abuse and addiction treatment, which really informed the creation of her new arm of Bloom Wellness, which is a addiction support service, all virtual for new moms. So as a mother and clinician, she is passionate about the work that she's doing to help support women when they need it the most, because no one wants to go through this transition alone. Postpartum support is something that we don't do a very great job with in this country. And so Dr. Jane and I discussed that, as well as our own personal experience of what it was like to be a new mom and a therapist who in theory had all the tools but still struggled. So we get real honest as always in this episode, and I hope you'll enjoy. Cheers.
Okay. All right. So I already gave you kind of a formal intro to Dr. Jane, but I wanted to thank you for coming on the podcast and give you an opportunity to introduce yourself to our listeners.
Yeah, I'm so excited to be here. I'd be happy to introduce myself a little bit more. I'm Dr. Jane Shamoff. I always like to start with I'm a mom of three, because no matter what else I'm doing, you know, that is always 24/7 going on.
100%. 100%. Yeah.
So, it's my motivation for starting Bloom. So I'm a mom of three, and I have Bloom, which I started because I really saw an incredible lack of care for women postpartum. I saw it when I had my first child, when I had the most elaborate birth plan on this planet, with like detailed music and everything. And I just remember going home from the hospital and looking at them when they're like wheeling me into the elevator. Like, are you guys sure you want to send me home with this newborn? I had never even changed a diaper before. Like, yeah. To give you a little bit of a history on me, like, I was not the like, give me all your babies person. I'm still right. Not that person.
Me neither.
So yeah. I'm like, just give me my babies. They're enough.
I always say I love babies, but just my own. Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I've never been that person. And interestingly enough, even having kids, you know, thankfully I'm obsessed with my own kids, but I'm still not like you know, give me all the children. I'm always like, who wants to take my child overnight? They're ready for sleepovers.
Right. Oh my gosh. Oh my gosh. You and I feel like we could hang out. Yep. Or I'm like the one who's like, I'm not the one who's like down on the floor playing Legos, but like, sure, I'll give you the time to go play your Legos, right? Or I'll plan a play date for you to go play Legos with somebody.
Exactly. Else. Yeah. I'm not that mom. Just not that mom. As much as I like want to be, I'm also not the DIY mom.
Nope.
But I do make a pretty lunch plate.
Oh, we'll have to hear about that because I struggle.
Yeah, plating is like, I need the food to look good when it's going to them the right color. Anyway.
Oh, all the colors on the plate.
I'm digressing.
Okay. So yeah, you come out of the hospital, you're like, oh my gosh, are you sure you want me to come home with this baby? There's no manual here. Yeah.
Right. And back then, you know, to give you an idea, my oldest is going to be 10, in October. And so I had no clue what to expect. And I was already in the psych field. And so I was like, I have all the tools that I need. I did everything I need to do. I'm going to be just fine. I'm not going to be like all these horror stories of women who deal with postpartum depression, which, by the way, was the only diagnosis, available at the time. That was the only postpartum diagnosis. And I definitely didn't have that. I knew I wasn't depressed. Wow. I had no idea what I had because I also knew that I was really struggling. Mm. So fast forward to having my third child, who is going to be now 4 in September, I realized that like not much had changed. Nothing had really changed. They gave me a really brief depression inventory at the hospital the day after I had her. And, you know, my nurse didn't know that I was a therapist. And so I asked her, I said, you know, I'm really glad that you guys are doing this, but why are you asking me today if I'm depressed? You know, I just had a baby. At the touch of a button, I have like all the help I need, you know?
Yeah. This is not when we need the help, right?
Yeah. Check in with me a week from now, even like 4 days from now, like that's when things are going to be settling in, but they kind of do it, you know, cause it's part of their protocol now and it's, you know, it protects them really also. Mm-hmm. But it still wasn't done in the right way. So
what they might notice there, not to interrupt you, but like, and tell me if you agree, the only thing that might pop up there would be like postpartum psychosis, but like, that's pretty obvious, right? But postpartum depression typically doesn't set in that quick.
Postpartum psychosis also, is not often brought on that early in my experience. Yeah. Like oftentimes, postpartum psychosis can, again, like not to freak your audience out, not to scare you guys. It's uncommon. Yeah. It's not common. It's not something that happens to most or many, but it does happen to a few. And it's often brought on by potentially a history of some mental health diagnoses in the past, but also it depends on like how much care you have, how much support you have. Lack of sleep is huge. Mm. Huge, like trying to do it all, not sleeping, not having the resources, not having any help, feeling really alone, already dealing with depression, and potentially other postpartum mood disorders, again, having the history. Yeah. It's a combination of all those things that can on occasion bring about postpartum psychosis.
If anything, that
inventory in the hospital, if you've already been diagnosed with any mood disorder in the past, that might come up as like a red flag when you're getting that little screening. Sure. But again, I still believe that the best time to screen for that is after they've already gone home and they no longer have all the resources available to them at their birth center or from their hospital. That's when it like really, you know, hits you and everything sets in. So that was kind of my aha moment for Bloom, where I'm like, okay, this change isn't happening, or it's definitely not happening quickly enough. And I need to be that change. I need to be a part of that change and I need to do something about it. And so, I was finishing my doctoral program at the time. And
no big deal. You had your third kid, you know, just finishing your doctoral program.
Yeah. Just to give you an idea how crazy I am. I signed up for a doctoral program and a week later found out I was pregnant with my third. So I did the entire doctoral program while pregnant with my third child.
Wow.
I know that was not really planned, but I also could have backed out of the doctoral program, but I didn't.
Yeah.
And
thank God you didn't. Look, yeah, look what you were able to. It was like the program mixed with that aha moment. That's so cool. Yeah.
It was everything. It was all, you know, meant to be. And yeah, so I started Bloom, and it was a work in progress, because again, it was my first time dealing with the maternal mental health on a professional level as opposed to on a personal level. But it was really cool kind of getting started and figuring out what was going to work. But we figured out that working virtually with moms, and we created some amazing packages. And what we also really found was the importance of postpartum planning. So my big thing, and I'm sure you can attest to this, and I'm sure any of you guys listening who have had kids, you know, we plan for the birth, and we could plan for like the stuff postpartum, right? You know, where they're going to sleep, the clothes, the this, the that, the space. But we don't really plan for our mental health or what can potentially come up. And so a big thing that we focus on in Bloom is prevention of postpartum mood disorders. And I believe that so many of these postpartum mood disorders can be prevented through education and early intervention. I can't tell you how many moms have said to me, if I only knew, right? Because when we're thrust into parenthood, we have all of these, we're immediately hit with like mom guilt. When the baby cries, you can't figure out why the baby's crying, right? Or we left a pee or a poo diaper too long. It hits you
and
right away.
A rash, and you're like, oh my gosh, there's a rash. That's my fault. Right. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Everything is our fault. And everything leads to this like horrible, scary thought of I'm a bad mom. Mm. And when we get really caught up in these scary thoughts, we start to kind of spiral into them, and we start to go down that rabbit hole. And it down in that rabbit hole is where postpartum mood disorders are born.
Yes.
Right.
Yes. That's such a good way of putting it. I love that. Yeah. I was in that rabbit hole. And when you said, I just can so relate to, I'm a therapist, cause I was already, you know, licensed, or I after my second child, I got licensed. And then by my third, my practice was up and running. And so I did experience postpartum, what I think was postpartum anxiety, now that I know what I know, most when I had my first two 15 months apart. And it was because I thought I could handle it all, right? Like I'm a therapist. I can take care of myself. I'm also just a doer. I don't like to ask for help. And it wasn't until looking back now that I could see how much I was struggling. So it really resonated when you said, if I only knew then, I feel like I could have pulled myself. It's not like something major or terrible or bad happened, but I do feel like I didn't honor myself very well in that time. And I also didn't give myself any grace. I was really hard on myself, and I didn't enjoy things as much as I wish I would have. And so while we can't go back, I love that this idea of prevention and how to educate moms or support them before the baby. Like I didn't have any of that other than what I happened to know within my own, you know, my own background of being a therapist. So talk to us a little bit about what that prevention looks like and what you guys do for that at Bloom, because that's so cool. I actually haven't heard many practices that do that.
Yeah, I love that. And everything you're saying is so true for, I'm sure, most women. And I love that you use the word grace. It's something I say so often, that to give yourself the space and the grace to just like flow through all of your feelings, because most likely they're so normal. And for some reason, like we have so many other positive feelings as well, but we don't hold on to them. We don't grab onto them like we do when we have a negative thought. Somehow when we have a negative thought, we hold it. Mm-hmm. And we think about it and we analyze it and we wonder what it means and what it could mean. And you know, there we go sliding down into that rabbit hole. So what our prevention looks like, how we like to do this, we actually have a postpartum planning guide, and we have a postpartum planning session that's available on our website. And you basically go meet with an expert who's a master's level clinician, most likely also a mom. Mm-hmm. And you go through what your postpartum period is going to look like in every single way. So not just what it's going to look like physically, but what it can potentially look like emotionally. and you go through with your therapist basically what types of feelings are you potentially going to experience that are all within normal range. The way I like to kind of look at it is when you go to the doctor and the doctor's like, okay, you, your kid has an ear infection, so I'm going to prescribe you antibiotics. Let me tell you some potential side effects of these antibiotics to look out for, right? And you go through a list of potential side effects. So tummy ache, nausea, you know, potentially trouble falling asleep, whatever it may be. So mood swings, who knows, whatever they say. So when you go home, you start taking the antibiotics, you start giving them to your child, and you start seeing these little things pop up. Oh, some nausea. Okay, I'm not going to give that much thought because I know it's normal and it's a potential side effect.
Sure.
Right? So basically discussing these potential side effects of early postpartum, like certain moods that we can feel, certain thoughts that we can think that are all within normal range that you may or may not experience. But if you do, you don't have to think about it too deeply. One thing that's super common when you're walking up the stairs, you're holding your newborn and suddenly you think like, oh my God, what if I drop him or her?
Sure.
And we're like, oh my God, how could I have thought that? What a horrible thing to think. I'm a horrible mom. Right? When in fact, if you think about it evolutionarily, we tend to have these thoughts specifically in early postpartum because that is when our babies are the most vulnerable. And so when you're doing something that can be potentially more dangerous, like walking up the stairs, our body gives us the signal and we have this thought. And now what are we doing when we have this thought? We're holding our baby much tighter.
Yes.
And we're paying extra close attention while we're walking up these stairs in order to prevent something from happening. So it's almost like your mama bear instinct, protecting your baby.
Sure, but it is.
But what we're doing instead is we're judging ourselves for having that thought.
Instead of just like, and if you help women know that this is normal, this may happen, this is actually evolutionary, it's protective. Then when it happens, you're not like, oh my gosh, I'm a terrible mom. I want to hurt my baby. Right. I think that's a really, really good point and so helpful. I work a lot with postpartum OCD. So talk to us a little bit and OCD about, because this is a really great, it's what's normal and then how to know what's not normal. And I don't want to focus too much on that, but it's from my perspective, that would be constantly thinking about what if I hurt my baby or what if I want to hurt my baby and not being able to get that out of your head. That's where it would cross the threshold. Is that correct? From typical to clinical?
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And you know, to disclose a little bit about myself, like I mentioned, when I first had, when I had my first child, I knew I wasn't depressed. I definitely had postpartum anxiety, which again was not a diagnosis back then.
Yeah.
And I also think I had some postpartum OCD, which also was not a diagnosis back then. And so having crossing the threshold from normal to not normal is we're all going to have some anxious thoughts. Normal.
Absolutely.
We can also have some OCD thoughts, like for example, living in through this pandemic that we're living through right now. When we have a newborn, if you have a newborn right now, you're going to probably be extra cautious about keeping things like super, super clean. Now, I was already like that, right? If I had if I had a newborn on top of already having that kind of predisposition of, you know, my friends already call me like a germaphobe pre-COVID. Now having a newborn on top of that, it can definitely exacerbate those symptoms and create more of a diagnosable mood disorder.
Sure.
So I would, when you're looking at normal versus not normal, things to look for, again, I think the biggest thing is if it's affecting your life in a negative way.
Yeah.
Like that's always the biggest thing to look for within yourself to see if you're really having a problem. If it's something you're thinking about here and there, but you find that it's not really affecting your day-to-day, or it's not really interfering with you living your life, then it's probably more in the normal range, but something to just, you know, look at. Maybe I always recommend just talking to somebody. But if you find that it is really affecting your day-to-day life and it is really, it's causing you to struggle like throughout the day. I remember one of my really interesting symptoms was that I needed to make sure my, so I had a really hard time breastfeeding the first time. I got 3 times in the first 2 weeks, which is also like very uncommon, not fun, painful, but it happened. And so I had to switch to formula, which brought on all that mom guilt. But I had to make sure that my son finished the bottle till his last drop, or somehow he's not going to sleep all night, which again, looking at the logic piece, right? I think logic is also huge. Like logically, that doesn't make sense, but in my mind it did. And when we look at OCD, it's almost like a little bit of a superstitious type of disorder, where if this doesn't happen, then this will happen. So OCD in regular life outside of postpartum can look like, if I don't check the doorknob 5 times, then something's going to happen to a loved one.
Yes. Really common.
Right. So it's not logic based. And that's kind of how it was. That's kind of how it was for me. And that's kind of how it looks like in postpartum OCD, where,
but it's just all direct. A lot of it's directed towards the baby. Right. And that's what I think makes it tricky, is that it's already a difficult phase. There's already so much transition and change going on. And we already worry about our babies like crazy. If we have a typical brain or a non-OCD, you know, disorder, but then you throw that on there or anxiety, and it's just really, really difficult. Yeah.
And sometimes it can be really hard not to fall into that. And so, especially in those first few weeks, and that's why I think it's so important to have somebody providing a service like Bloom offers, because if you think about the care that we have throughout our pregnancy, we're with our OBGYN for 9 to 10 months, right? We're seeing them, and toward the end of our pregnancy, we're seeing them at least once a week.
Mm-hmm.
And they do this incredible, like, life-changing thing for you, where they help you deliver your baby.
Right.
Right. And then they're done. Mm-hmm. Like their job at that point, the baby is delivered. Their job is done. They come back again. They check your uterus. They check your stitches. They check your incision if you had a C-section. And then they say, depending on whether you gave birth vaginally or with a C-section, see you in 4 to 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? They're like, boom, boom, boom. And, you know, nothing bad about that. That's their job.
Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Now it's out of their scope. The next doctor you're going to see is probably going to be your baby's pediatrician, who now takes over the care for the baby. But at no point in traditional care does anybody come in and say, you know, how are you feeling? You just went through this like crazy experience. I'm here for you to help you walk through this entirely new journey.
Yeah.
So that's really what it is. Like, absolutely nothing looks the same once you have your first child.
Mm-mm. Your whole identity changes. Your whole identity shifts and changes. Yeah,
it really does. And I just remember, like, the photographer. I don't know if you experienced that. The photographer after you give birth.
Yes.
Like, you're like a hot mess. Your boobs are out. Yeah. You're like trying to figure out what to do with yourself. Like, you're half clothed, and then you're like, knock, knock, knock. Hello, I'm the newborn photographer. Would you like to take some pictures?
Yes, yes. Except for I had it at my house, like, which I never did it again after this experience. Mia, my first daughter, was 3 days old or 4 days, or maybe she was 6 days old. Who knows? Regardless, I was feeling terrible. I was feeling, it was so stressful to try and get a picture of the baby not screaming and crying. Because again, I had mastitis. She wasn't eating. It was so stressful. And so, yeah, those kind of experiences that you just feel like, again, the message in my head then was, you're failing. I see these other cute newborn pictures. Like, why can't you get your baby? They're like, it's just, and now I know how ridiculous that is, or how unrealistic I was being with myself, but my younger self didn't know that. And yeah, so many moms experience that.
I'm so happy you're bringing that up, that it's like such a huge, huge factor and such a great point. We're especially in our society now, like when I had a kid almost 10 years ago, Instagram was not a thing. So I wasn't as like obsessed with these matchy photos.
Right.
Right. Now, unless you're looking for pages like ours, where we talk, you know, like the reality.
Yeah.
Unless you're looking for that, which I think a lot of women who are pregnant with their first are not looking for that, because it can be a little bit off-putting and scary. And so instead they're looking at these like, oh my God, let's have like our matching headbands, our going home outfits. We're going to match. We're going to plan our photos. My hair is going to be blow dried. I'm going to have makeup. It's going to be great. You know, like just like these other moms that make it look so easy. Look at this mom with 10 kids that are all dressed the nines.
Yeah.
And they're all posed perfectly with smiles and all looking at the camera.
Right. Right. And you know now what went behind that picture. You and I both know.
Oh my God. I can't even imagine.
Yeah.
Can't even imagine with 10 kids, but
yeah.
But that's what you expect because you're like, I'm doing everything. I'm doing all the classes. I'm, you know, I'm in a good mood. I'm having a good this. I'm planning for my delivery. It's going to be
everybody's giving me attention, right? Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and this is all we're looking at. We're looking at these like perfect feeds of like these perfect looking families. And that's what you think is a reality, which is not. You're like, my reality does not look like this reality. What's wrong with me?
Yes.
But I think we need to destigmatize the reality of postpartum as something that's negative because it's really not. It's a hot mess. But it's also, there's also so much beauty in that because if you think about it, there's no transition in life, even if it's a positive transition, no transition in life comes without a little bit of a mess.
Yes. And this is so true. Mm-hmm.
It's so, like when you're, let's say you're moving into the house of your dreams, mm-hmm. right? Like you're moving into your dream home. Let me tell you, it is going to be a hot mess for a while.
Yes.
Right? All the pieces are in the air. You're trying to figure out where to put things, how to put this, what, and it's not organized. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of what your life is like on a whole other level when you have a newborn, because not only is like your space unorganized, but you feel like you yourself are out of control and unorganized. Mm-hmm. And I think that's why it's so hard. It can be so hard for women postpartum because before having a baby, you at least maybe felt in control of yourself, of your own body, of your own mind, of your own schedule.
Yes.
And now it's the opposite of that. Mm-hmm. Suddenly you are not in control of anything.
Right.
And even though it can be incredibly terrifying, if we get past that fear and we kind of give into it, I kind of, I've used this example a lot. It's kind of like when you're going to the ocean and there's waves and you get stuck in like a, I might use the wrong phrase because I'm not a surfer by any means, but I think it's like a riptide.
Yes,
but yeah, like a
yes. Yeah. Like a rip, like a current. Yeah.
Like a current. And you're like, oh God, I'm in this current. Like, I feel like I'm drowning and you're fighting against it so hard. But the moment you're like, you know what? I'm just going to let it take me for a ride. Guess what? You're going to come out okay. You're going to be just fine.
Oh, and it's kind of this analogy for almost anything that we struggle with in life is just that acceptance, right? Yeah.
Just, this is what it is right now. Mm-hmm. It is temporary. It feels scary.
Yes.
I don't know what's going to happen from day to day, maybe from minute to minute.
Right.
But I'm going to ride this wave and I'm going to see what happens. And just like your newborn baby, who you're giving so much love and affection and attention to, and caring so much about, you are also, and I've said this before, but you are also newly born, especially if it's your first time mom. Mm. And when you're pregnant, you give yourself all of that love and attention because you're nurturing a child from within your body. Mm-hmm. But somehow when that child comes out, we become like really on the back burner.
Yes.
And we should really be nurturing ourselves just as much because we've just gone through this incredible athletic feat.
Mm.
And we're going through a lot too. We're learning right along with the baby.
And the babies or children, whatever point they're in life. I say this a lot in my space too. It's like, they need us to be well. It's that whole cliche thing of put your oxygen mask on first. Well, there's a reason, is because their wellness is so connected to ours. And that's not to bring on guilt or shame, but just to be honest with the fact that if we can't do it for ourselves, which I hope we all can understand why that's so important, at the very least, we need to understand that we need to do it for them. And I write a lot about that in my book that's coming out, is that our wellness and our mental health, like we owe that to our children. We owe it to ourselves first, but we also owe that to our children. And so, you know, it's funny you say hot mess. I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but the book I have coming out is called A Little Less of a Hot Mess, The Modern Mom's Guide to Growth and Evolution. And it's like just what we're talking about. Yes, we're talking about the baby phase, but don't you think now that you have a 10-year-old and a 6-year-old and a 3-year-old, right? Or a 4-year-old, it's like every phase comes with some new and different challenge. And I feel like I'm constantly re-evolving or like figuring out who the heck I am as a mom now, or, you know, sure, I get more sturdy in who I am as a person and what I believe in. But I feel like just when you get it figured out, something shifts and changes.
Amen. Yeah. That is so, no truer words have ever been spoken, Caitlin, because, and that's why I say that everything is temporary. Like yeah. That's kind of your, that was like my mantra also. Like when it's like the witching hour, right? And you're just like, oh my God, this kid is never going to stop crying. Mm. They will. It might take a while, but you know what? The sun will come out the next morning. I promise.
Yes.
And
but it feels so terrible when you're going through it, but that's such a good one. Cause I remember that feeling of,
oh my God, it's just like never ending. I remember with my second, she was a hot mess. I was like, with my first, I was like, you know what? It's not him. It's me. With my second, I'm like, it's not me, it's her.
Yeah, totally. That's so true. The witching hour was terrible with my second.
It's horrible.
You have another little one running around, you know?
Yeah, and that's a whole other thing. We could do another one about like the difference.
Because
when you have your second kid, it's like a whole other level of postpartum stuff that goes on when you transition from one to two.
Yeah.
But what you're saying is that, you know, after you have a baby, you basically get on this lifelong roller coaster. And just when you think you have it figured out, something changes. And not to scare anyone, because change can be scary, but you just learn that every single phase is just that.
Yeah.
It's a phase and it's temporary and it's going to change.
Yeah.
And you get to watch your baby go from this like newborn that doesn't really have a personality yet, to really developing a personality, to that personality suddenly completely changing, and to sleep becoming incredibly good, then to suddenly becoming incredibly bad.
Right. Then you're we haven't hit this phase yet, right? But in the teenager years when they're going out with their friends and then worrying about them coming home, then you're not sleeping. Gosh, that I feel bad. I'm sure I did a number on my parents, but yeah.
Oh, I think about myself and I'm like terrified.
Yeah,
terrified for myself. Yes. Not even for my kids. I'm terrified for myself.
Totally.
Because I know what I did as a teenager, and I'm just like, I'm gonna know.
Yeah.
I'm gonna know.
We're gonna know. Yeah. You can't bullshit a bullshitter, right?
Exactly. Oh, I've used that line with my kids. I think I've substituted bullshitter for a different word, but yes.
Regardless, it's fine. You know, even if you didn't, I still think it's okay. mommy, don't say that word. I know. Okay. So I love the whole idea of this prevention track. And then, and at the end of this episode, as we start to wrap up, I'm going to ask you to tell listeners where they can go to, of course, you know, find out all this info and get signed up. So the prevention track, and then you have the postpartum track. Tell us about that a little bit. So I'm assuming you get assigned somebody, a therapist. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So ideally we connect with a mom in her third trimester and help her plan for postpartum. Mm-hmm. And again, it's not because there's something already going on. It's not because you already have a mood disorder. It's nothing like that. It's literally like you go to the dentist.
Yeah.
Probably you should go every 6 months. To prevent cavities, you have your yearly with your doctor to prevent, right? Mm-hmm. So this is a session to prevent having a negative postpartum experience. It's really to make your postpartum experience better, healthier, happier.
And also you get to know them, kind of their baseline before they have
exactly.
The baby.
So I think and you already have your resource.
Standpoint, that's really, or from the therapist standpoint, I think that's really helpful. Yeah.
We want to be that gentle handoff, and then we work with a lot of OBGYNs actually to do this, where, you know, they're seeing their patient and they're like, okay, you're nearing the end of your pregnancy. Please reach out to bloom. And by the way, I will say this, we take insurance, which
That's
really exciting.
And on the practitioner side, it's hard, but by doing that, you're giving so many more women access to your services.
And that really was our goal, because, you know, it's really hard for us as women and moms to spend money on our mental health.
Yeah.
I'm just going to say it. We just don't want to. We'll spend money on like food, on nutritionists, on, you know, personal trainers, on anything and everything for the baby. But when it comes to spending money on our own mental health, it's almost like a failure, or we just don't deserve it, or whatever thing we tell ourselves. So we take insurance. And so hopefully that'll take that burden off. Mm. And absolutely. When you connect with us for postpartum planning, you already have your resource that we can help guide you through that next stage of your life. And so on our private client side, we call it Bloom Wellness. Mm-hmm. We have various packages depending on where you are in your postpartum period, where you could just do traditional like a la carte sessions, or you can have a package where there's one for the fourth trimester, which is the first 0 to 3 months postpartum, and then 3 months plus as well. Mm-hmm. And we also have a postpartum planning package also, which covers the postpartum planning session. And then I think there's 2 sessions after you give birth as well. And I got to tell you that oftentimes that's enough. This is not like,
Right. Oh, hi,
you're here for long-term therapy. That's not for everyone. Not everybody needs it.
Yeah, I love that. Isn't that the point? I tell this to my own people that I work with. It's like, my point in this work with you is to help you, to hold your hand, to give you the tools so that then you can go and do this yourself, right? So that you don't need to be in therapy forever and ever. So I love that. Yeah.
Totally. I always say that like my goal is for you not to need me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
When you don't need me anymore, my job here is done.
Yeah. And you may need me 6 months down the line or a year down the line. And that's
exactly.
Cool. The point is,
exactly.
Yeah. So you have those packages available on the Bloom Wellness side. And then talk about the other part of it. Is that Bloom? Tell me about Bloom Recovery.
Yes. So Bloom Recovery is a new program that we're launching. It's actually a virtual treatment center. And we focus on It's unprecedented. I don't think this has been done before,
right.
But it's a completely virtual treatment center for the women who, you know, have gone down that rabbit hole, mm-hmm. like a lot of us have. And it's again covered by insurance. And it's an entire treatment program where you're with other women virtually. You get to be in the comfort of your own home. You get to stay with your family, with your baby, which again is really unusual for treatment center programs.
Yeah.
While you receive the care that you need through group sessions and individual sessions, until you know, and there's different levels of care depending on how much support you need,
mm-hmm.
ranging from 5 days a week down to 1 day a week.
Mm.
Again, all covered by insurance.
Wow.
And really good.
How many therapists, sorry to interrupt, I'm just so fascinated. I think that's wonderful. So on that side of things, is it just a whole team you have developed now? That's so cool.
It's a whole team. It's a brand new project because again, this hasn't been done before. So it's taken longer than I wanted to launch. But right now we're in our pre-launch period and we are starting, and we have already taken clients on the outpatient side. Like, I don't want to give you guys this lingo that you're not going to connect to, but we've started to take some lower level of care clients on already, and it's mm-hmm. been really wonderful.
Good.
And we get to assess that in the beginning, and mm-hmm. we work with you as a team to kind of figure out what you need.
Mm-hmm.
And we're in the business of really taking care of our moms and really helping them get through this period that's temporary, and you know, and just reminding them that they're going to be okay and they're not alone. You're not alone. We're all unique, but we're not alone.
I love that. I love that. So for anyone listening, would you say if they know a mom that's postpartum that's really struggling or could use some help, send them to what's your website?
So our website is www.momsinbloom.com.
Okay. I'll add it to the show notes too. Yeah.
Perfect. And you can also get a lot of our resources on our Instagram, which is @momsinbloom. And if anybody wants to email me directly, I'll give my personal email or my work personal email for your listeners, it's Dr. Jane, Dr. Jane, momsinbloom.com.
Okay. I'll add that to the show notes to everyone listening, so you guys can check those out to get that information. And then do they need to, and I'm assuming, because I've been to your beautiful website, by the way, I actually just did a blog post for you, which was so fun.
Yeah.
The blog has really great resources on it too. So there's free resources on your website, which I think is wonderful. Now, you can, they're not having to choose Bloom Wellness or Bloom Recovery. That's something that you guys help navigate on the website, correct?
Yes. And you can also choose. It's both. Okay. So we can help you figure it out. And, or you can kind of try to figure it out yourself. And again, we can always...
Based on the website. Yeah. I feel like it's really easy to navigate. Yeah.
Thank you. Because we really want it to be. So I appreciate that feedback. And if anybody else has any feedback, please let me know. Cause we really want to make everything as user-friendly as possible, because I am not so techie and I just need things to make sense right away. And so I really want that experience for everyone else. But we have a whole Bloom Recovery section on our website. And we have all of our packages on our website too. We also have a virtual staff member named Bloomy, who's our little chat bot.
Oh my
gosh. Start interacting with you right when you hop on. And just so you guys know, like if you start chatting with the chat bot, it automatically notifies our team. Mm-hmm. And so a team member shortly pops in if you want to talk to somebody and is able to kind of take it from there.
That's
so
awesome.
Right from
how high tech of you. Oh my gosh.
I know. How fancy.
So fancy. Well, I absolutely love everything you're doing. So it's moms in bloom with an e.com and then at moms in bloom with an e on Instagram. Correct. Yeah.
Sure.
And then, I also just wanted to say, I love highlighting on the podcast. It's something I'm trying to do more often, female entrepreneurs who are doing good. And so I just want to thank you for everything you're doing for maternal mental health. And I know it's not easy to start a business when you've got three kiddos. So I'm just so inspired for you. So thanks for taking the time to talk with me today.
Thank you, Caitlin. I'm inspired by you as well. I've always wanted to write a book. So
you've got a lot. I think you have a book in you for sure. No doubt.
Yeah. I've always wanted to, I just like haven't done that yet. So just hearing you talk about yours is just so inspiring for me. And now I have a friend that's going to help me if I need help with that.
Good. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, so me. Yes. I would love to.
Yes, you. You're my friend.
I was just going to say, let's chat offline because I would love to help you. And I have been sharing about the book process on this podcast, which has been really fun. So I would love to talk with you about it and get you, you know, kind of support you as you get started, because you do have a lot to say and a lot of important things to say. So thanks again. And yeah, we'll talk soon.
Thank you guys so much. It's been a pleasure.
Bye.
Bye.
Thanks for choosing to listen to this week's podcast episode and for supporting A Little Less Hot Mess. One way you could really support the ongoing production of this podcast is by going to iTunes, subscribing to the podcast if you haven't already, and leaving me a 5-star review and share what you like about the podcast. Another thing I wanted to point out, if you're interested in dipping your toes in the water of personal growth but aren't quite sure where to start, I've got just the thing for you. I created a free Facebook group called A Little Less Hot Mess, a personal growth group for modern moms. It's a place that I share resources that I think will be helpful, and we get to be in conversation with like-minded women and moms around the struggles and all the real stuff that comes with being a modern woman. So check it out, and you can also pre-order my book, which is called A Little Less Hot Mess, The Modern Mom's Guide to Growth and Evolution, on Amazon now. Lots of things coming your way. I hope you have a beautiful week. Cheers.